Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. Welcome to our program. And this is Susan Puzio, and this is the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And this is part three of our series that we're doing on the pulpit pimps, You Are Being Conned. And I have some very interesting clips to play for you today. Yeah, it's quite unbelievable, really, how far down or how low these people can actually go with their lying and manipulating. It's unbelievable. And to even put the label Christian on it is even more unbelievable. But we are live today. It's Saturday, March 23rd. And so the chat room is open if you have any comments. Also, this is a live call-in program. And our call-in number is 914-338-1638. And we will be taking your calls today, Saturday. So I just have a few things I wanted to go over, some things that were in the news that I saw this week, which I found very shocking, unbelievable. You can't even make this stuff up, really. It's the worst type of science fiction, but it's not fiction. There's actually a company in California. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the name correctly, Cerimax or something like that, but it's a biotech company, and they have actually taken cells, kidney cells, from aborted babies, and they are experimenting with using these kidney cells as flavoring agents for food. And actually, the Pepsi company was part, I think they were actually part of this experiment. They have since withdrawn from this experiment, or so they say. It was, I think, the Pepsi company, Kraft, and Campbell Soup. So... just when you think you've heard it all, what else can the wicked minds of men think of? They're already, and why people even are getting their children vaccinated, knowing, and maybe some of you don't know because maybe you never read the package insert, or if you go on the internet, you can do a search for vaccines from abortion. Also, you can go to my website, propheticnews.com, and there's some links there. But they have actually been using aborted baby cells in vaccines for many, many years, and in almost all the vaccines. There's very few of them that don't have an ethical version. There are a few where you can choose which one you want, but... the ones I know of just off the top of my head that don't have an ethical version are the shingles vaccine, I think the MMR, I think the rabies. But like I said, you need to be informed about what you're ingesting, what you're giving your children, whatever kind of medicine or injection, you need to know what's in it before you take it, because they don't tell people these things. And we wonder why we have such an epidemic of autism today, like never before, because now they're giving children somewhere between 30 and 50 vaccinations by the time they're six. There's also mercury and aluminum and formaldehyde and monkey embryo. Like, why in the world do I want to be injected with a monkey embryo? I don't know. But anyway, sorry, I hit the wrong button there. Be informed, and it's so hard to trust food and to trust these medicines. Truly, the days are evil. So I want to look at a few scriptures before we get started today, because we want to base this program today on scripture. And if you look at Titus 3, here's something I find interesting, because now I like King James. That's the translation I like. I've said it before, I don't like to get into arguments with people over Bible versions, but I think there is such a difference if you actually lay out the different translations and you see how some of these translations twist things. Okay, if you look at this scripture in the King James, Titus 3:10, it's talking about a heretic there. Now, that word isn't even there in the NIV. What the NIV uses is the word warn a divisive person. So now when someone reads that, they would think, oh, someone like me or anybody that mentions anything against heresy, we're divisive. So that's how the NIV puts it. Instead of putting the word heresy there, they put a divisive person. Well, heresy and a divisive person are two totally different things. So you see there how they pervert the scripture. King James says, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition rejects. So that's what we're doing with these series of programs, is we're exposing the heresy, the first admonition, the second admonition, and then after that, reject these people. If they don't want to receive the truth, the Word of God says to reject them, according to which Bible translation you're reading. So I found that very interesting, because we hear that a lot when people criticize, and they have a right to their opinion. I have a right to my opinion, and as long as I'm basing it on Scripture. If I start getting off and I'm not basing what I say on Scripture, then I need to be corrected too. But we can see that there's a lot of persecution that comes from Scripture twisting, such as the NIV says, a divisive person. Well, heresy is a lot different than being divisive. And especially when that word is not even in that translation. So people that read only one translation, they don't get all the words that are necessary to explain what the scripture is saying. And then, of course, they're going to be angry at you because you're exposing heresy when they don't even know what heresy is. Let's look at 2 Timothy 6. But let's see, 2 Timothy 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But let's start at verse 5. perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Now, the Word of God says, these people that I'm going to be playing the clips of today, the Bible says that these are perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth. They say that gain is godliness. And my Bible says, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen? And that's 1 Timothy chapter 6. So, and we see this happening. We see that most of these television preachers, they've become so rich and they fell into this snare, and they have to keep the beast that they created these ministries, and I put it in quotes because I don't know who they're ministering to most of the time, to themselves. And so they have to cheat and manipulate and do all these things to keep these things going. And they've long ago left the faith, and they've given heed to seducing spirits. But let's look at another scripture, the word merchandise. Now, that word, also this scripture in 2 Peter 2:3, you don't see the word merchandise in the NIV. And it says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And that's what these pulpit pimps are doing. They use covetousness, and they make merchandise of you. They don't care about you. They could care less about you. They want you to send in an offering, and then they're going to put your prayer request on an altar, but you have to send them an offering in order for them to do it. So what kind of love is that? You know, that's not real love. Send me an offering, and I put your prayer request on an altar, and I pray for you. That's somewhat pitiful. So, now let's look at 2 Timothy 3, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 9. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and they creep in through TV, and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you see, these people, they creep in, they take advantage of your vulnerability when you're desperate for a miracle, you're desperate to see your family saved, you're desperate to get your body healed. And they know that you're desperate, so they take advantage of your weakness, and really, it is despicable. I couldn't believe what I was hearing this week when I was listening, getting ready for this program and listening to these telethons. And almost every single so-called Christian network that's on TV, they do these telethons, and they're the things they come up with. They have very vivid imaginations, the things that they think of, all these gimmicks, and some of them use these big Greek words, and it's all centered around manipulating you to send in a seed faith gift, and for your seed faith gift, you will get a miracle from God. Now, all I can say is it's a good thing that we're not in the Old Testament, because remember what happened in the Old Testament when people prophesied falsely? They didn't hang around too long. So it's a good thing we're under grace and mercy right now, because it wouldn't be pretty at all. But I think these networks like TBN and the Daystar Network and the Inspiration Network and the TCT Network and the CTN Network and let me see who else I'm leaving out here. Most of these, the Word Network, they've sold out, and you can always tell if a ministry really is of God by the way they take up offerings. I don't care if people take up an offering. If you want to take up an offering, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with asking for donation if that's what you want to do. But to manipulate people, to associate money with seed, to tell people to send in this gift, and it's only when these telethons are on that the Spirit of God is moving, and this is your moment, and it's all designed to play on your emotions, to manipulate you, and it's almost like hypnotism. The music's playing, and they're talking in a low tone, and the Spirit of God is here, and the Holy Spirit is telling them these things, that there's 300 people that are to send in $57. It is so pitiful. First of all, the Holy Spirit doesn't talk like that. I don't see anywhere in the Bible. Could you please give me a scripture where God ever said, right now, or Jesus ever said when he was walking earth, I think when he was, Jesus was holding a healing service. Now, when Jesus is holding a healing service, does Jesus ever say, right now, there's 300 people out here in the audience, and there's 300 people that are to give me $57, and if you give me $57, I will perform the most magnificent miracles for you right now. Now, can you please show me a scripture in the Bible, the New Testament? Is there a scripture in the Bible like that? No. It's not in there. There's nothing. God calls money filthy lucre. God doesn't need your money. He doesn't even want money. What does God need money for? He doesn't need any money. We need money. Ministries need money. Tell people the truth. Stop trying to make it something spiritual. There is nothing spiritual about money. It's dirty. We have to have it because that's our means of exchange here on the earth. God's means of exchange is faith. That's his means of exchange, faith. You ask God for things and he gives it to you. We don't have to buy him off. We don't have to bribe him. We don't have to put any money on an altar. We don't have to hold our money up in the air. It's just ridiculous. Ridiculous. So I'm going to play a few clips here. Now, I was working, trying to figure out how to get some of these audio clips captured from the internet, and I wasn't able to get some of them to sound the way I wanted them to sound. I saw that I had a sound recorder on my computer, but if anybody can help me, if you want to send me an email, it's susan@propheticnews.com, and if you could give me some tips about how I can capture audio, say directly from the TBN site or the Daystar Network site, rather than to use my sound recorder on my computer, because the sound isn't the same. It's not as good as it sounds on their sites. And let me just say that there is no copyright violation here by using these clips. We are, according to the copyright law, you are allowed to use clips, audio clips, without infringing on anyone's copyright, because we're using it for criticism and reporting. And so it's perfectly legal, because I know the people at TBN, they like to sue people. And they've even, Paula White and Mike Murdoch, they even went after one of my YouTube channels and had it shut down. I opened up a new one, Prophetic News TV on YouTube. But they like to do these things. They like to harass people. And look, I don't have anything against Paula White. I don't have anything against Mike Murdoch. I don't like what they're doing to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not personal. It's about the truth. It's about the gospel. It's about people's eternal security. So if you're going to call yourself a Bible teacher, can you at least read the Bible? Could you please do that? Read it and stop lying to people. You know, there's a scripture in Galatians 2:11, where I think it was Paul. He went right to Peter, right, and he told him right to his face when he was doing something that he wasn't supposed to be doing. Now, I can't pick up the phone and call these people. They're not going to talk to me. So this is how I choose to do it, and to talk to them face to face, to confront them. And they can either receive it or they can't receive it. They can either repent and turn from their wicked ways or go on and become totally reprobate. Because as far as I'm concerned, it is reprobate to take the gospel and to sell it and to sell miracles to people for financial donations. And the way they do it is they're so good at their manipulating, because while they're manipulating you, and you'll hear these clips, they tell you that you cannot buy a miracle, but then they proceed to sell you one. So they're very good at the power of suggestion, suggesting things to you. They know these people are trained hypnotists, some of them. I know they are. It's wicked and it's evil. And the only way, one of the ways we're going to see it stop is if we continue to tell people and to educate people, and hopefully that if people stop supporting these people, they will have to go away. They'll either have to repent or leave television. They like to tell you that you have to give during these telethons or they're going off the air. Well, you know what? Stop giving, and maybe they will go off the air. That would be a good thing. So let's. I'm going to play a few clips. And one of these men is a guy named Doctor. I like when they put these doctor things in front of their names. Doctor Mike Smalley. The other man, he's James something. I could never get his name, but now you will be amazed. This is the TCT. I think it's Total Christian Television Network, and I think the man's name is Garth that owns it. Now, they have brought pimpery to a whole new level over there. So listen to how they get people to donate.
And I don't want you to go to the phone right now. Wait just a moment. Wait just a moment. God said to me, when you plant a seed and direct that seed, I put a rope in your hand that's tied to your mirror.
Really?
And as you look at Abraham, go back to when he met Melchizedek. And he gave. And because he gave, God said, I'm going to raise you up as a father of many nations. God will bypass 10,000 people to get to a giver. God will walk by person after person to get to a giver. When I get to heaven, I'll stand and give an account to God for what I'm saying to you right now.
Yeah, you will.
And you will give an account for how you hear what I'm saying. What you do today, it does not affect my life at all.
Oh, yes, it does.
This money goes for Christian television. But God's talking to 200 people.
God's talking to 200.
I cut up 200 pieces. That's how many was in this rope that I had, 200 pieces. I didn't plan it that way. I just cut them up, and when I counted them, that's how many there were. I believe there's 200 people. That need these three things God told me to prophesy. And I want you to pray, and then I want you to go to the phones.
Go to
North
the phone.
Carolina, New York, California, wherever you're hearing our voice, I want you to go to the phone. I am personally going to pray over every pledge.
He's going to personally
I'm going to lay my hand on every pledge.
Wow.
I'm going to believe God to honor his word and to bring these three things to pass in your life. Now, Father, I preached the word. Ruby and I held the rope and we saw you bring David in. We held the rope and we saw you touch Ruby's body, defy the doctors, the medical reports, and she's still alive. Hasn't been sick a day since October the 28th, 2010. Lord, don't let anybody hearing me today miss your voice. I pray they will go quickly to the phones and dial that number and make that connection.
Go quickly to the phones.
Lord, when we send this little piece of rope and they take it and put it in Romans chapter 4, every time they open that book, Lord, they're taking a turn on that rope to bring that miracle into their life. There's something that happens when people respond with a $1,000 gift.
Really? Yeah, they lose.
I want you to go now. I want you to dial the number on your screen. I want you to say, Brother Payne, I believe I'm one of those 200.
Oh, James Payne. That's who he is.
I believe I'm one of those 200 supposed to give $1,000 to Christian Television.
Wow.
I don't have it. Some of you, I don't know where I'm going to get it. Some of you can put it on a credit card.
Yeah, put it on a credit
card. I don't apologize for asking you to give because I know On the other side of that gift is a miracle. On the other side of that gift is a soul that's coming to God.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of that gift is a breakthrough that will never happen unless you obey God.
Wow.
I thank God for Christian television and all the great men and women of God that have come.
That's not Christian.
And have challenged you. Because it's in answering that challenge that God begins to do the miraculous.
Oh, really?
In your life.
Mm-hmm.
Our prayer partners are standing by. Go dial that number on your screen, 800-232-9855. Say, I'm taking hold of that rope. The best decision my wife and I ever made was in Houston, Texas, when we sold that $1,000 for our son. He's not going to hell, Lynn.
Oh,
amen.
For $1,000, he's not going
today,
to hell?
Today, he's a great man of God. He's not going to hell. He's produced songs for me that's gone all over the world. Because his mom and I took hold of the rope and we refused to let go. Now we got to hold the rope for my wife's healing.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing, isn't it? He sowed a $1,000 seed and his son got saved. Wow. You know what? Now, that is despicable, really. That is despicable because Jesus Christ died for our sins. We don't have to give any $1,000 seeds or anything like that, plant seeds to see our family saved. Now, that man's name is James Payne, and that's the TCT Network, and they've been having their telethon all this week. They used to call it Praise-a-thon, but Paul Crouch, I don't know what he did. He trademarked that name now, and he told them that they can't use that word Praise-a-thon anymore because they own it. Now, here's another clip from the TCT telethon.
I want you to write this down. Great rewards come from following divine instructions. Write that little sentence down. Great rewards come from following divine instructions. You know, years ago, God nudged me about planting a very special seed into his work. And it wasn't particularly something I wanted to do. But when I obeyed God, heaven revolutionized over my life. And in a matter of days, the blessing was almost indescribable. I looked back on that and thought, what if I disobeyed God? What if I had decided I couldn't obey? What if I would have rejected the voice of the Lord? Look what I would have not experienced. You said, Mike, are you trying to say you can buy a miracle? No. Anybody that tells you can buy a miracle from God's a fool. But it's a bigger fool that believes that you can bring a seed to the God of heaven and him not keep his word and bring you back a harvest. The only purpose a seed exists is to create a harvest.
Really?
That's the only reason an apple seed exists, is to enter the soil and produce more apples. It's the only reason a cotton seed exists, so it can go into the soil and make a covenant with the soil and bring back a harvest of cotton. And the only reason God nudges you and I to use our faith to sow a seed is so he can get in covenant with us give us back a harvest.
I have to give him a
good
seed.
Measure,
you get a covenant.
Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. When you sow a seed into the work of God, you're investing in the only system on earth that cannot fail you.
Really?
When you present a seed to God and you wrap faith around it and you say, Lord, this is for your work. This is for your word. This is for the souls that you died for. When you sow like that, God will never leave you unrewarded. And the anointing you sow into is the anointing that comes back on you. When I sow a seed into the work of God, I'm sowing into a system that cannot fail me. And I'm sowing for my present and for my future. Because as a Christian, it's impossible for anything to leave your life. It merely exits your present to meet you later in your future, multiplied over. Jesus talked about John 3:16. Do you believe that? He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not have to perish but have eternal life. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that? Jesus said it.
Yeah. When
Jesus
said,
whoever calls on my name, I will not cast them out, John 6. Do you believe that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven, do you believe that?
Yeah.
When Jesus said, I am with you always.
Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Even to the end of the age. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I believe
that. Of course we do. Mm-hmm. Well, the same Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, anything you sow for his sake or the gospel's, you would not fail to get it back in this lifetime, 100-fold over, and eternal life in the world to come. The same Jesus said, give, and I'll give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He said, shall men pour into your lap? And then he said this. He said, but with the measure you measure out is the measure I'll measure back to you. So the size of my seed and my faith determines the size of my harvest.
Oh, really?
Here's what I want you to see. There's great reward on the other side of following a divine instruction. Why?
Yes.
Because when I plant my seed into the work of God, I'm documenting my trust in the character of God.
Really?
That's why it's so big to him.
Wow.
The last seed you brought to God is the last photograph he has of your faith and trust in him to be your provider. When I take a seed of finances that I can physically see and I bring it back to a God I cannot see, wrapped in my faith, I'm documenting my trust in his character, that the one who promised me John 3:16 promised me Luke 6:38 too. The one who promised me in Matthew 28 he would never leave me till the end of the age is the same Jesus who said I'd get it back in this lifetime 100-fold.
Wow.
And it's the same Jesus who said, according to our faith, be it unto us.
Yeah, my faith, right.
We've asked
the
Holy Spirit today for 300 miracles in the lives of 300 people.
300
who would
miracles.
Go to the phone and say, as God provides for me, I'm planting a seed for the next 12 months of just $30 a month into Christian television.
Oh.
I feel like it may seriously be one of the smallest seeds God ever speaks to you to sow. Dollar a day. A dollar a day for the greatest message on the earth to go forward.
Mm-hmm.
A dollar a day documenting my trust in the character of God.
Oh.
A dollar a day documenting my passion.
That's pretty unbelievable, isn't it? You see, they use all the smooth words. Now, you can't buy a miracle, but yet then he's telling you how you can buy one. I don't have to wrap my faith around a dollar bill. I don't have to prove to God that I love him by giving $5. And there's no such thing as 300 people or 200 people, you know, sowing a $30 seed. As Christians, we know we're supposed to give. I don't know how anybody can be born again and not know they're supposed to be a giver. We're not supposed to give out of selfishness. We're not supposed to plant seeds so that we want something back. Look, I don't know how you feel, but I hate when somebody does something for me just because they want me to do something back for them. That's not a gift. Nobody likes that. So why would anybody think that God himself likes that? He doesn't. Now, I did have some clips here from the TVN telethon, and you can actually go to their website, and they do have some of these praise-a-thons on video, so you can go and watch them yourself. But these clips that I took from Mark Sharona, now they were priceless, but they didn't turn out real good, so I'm not going to play them today. You can go to the TBN website and listen to this. Oh, he stayed up late at night trying to think of a new way to manipulate you to give an offering. He was priceless, really. But here's another brother. He was on the TBN telethon that day, so let's listen to him.
I will restore health, and I will restore healing to you. God is the God of restoration. We need to stop thinking God's against us. We need to stop thinking that God is mad at us. We need to stop thinking that God is making us pay for our crimes, pay for our sins, pay for our mistakes. Either Jesus paid it all or we have to pay it. And I'm pretty sure the Bible says Jesus paid it all. So we can now receive, we can now expect, we can now call on all of the restoration that God said he would do. And one of the things he said he would restore is he said, I will restore health to you. I will heal you. I will restore healing. Some of us have lost time in our lives. We've lost money in our lives because we've been sick. Maybe you couldn't work. Maybe if you would have been at better health, you could have started that business that you always dreamed of. Maybe if you had been in better health, you could have been promoted more than what you've been to up to this point. Maybe if you had better health, you would have had a more joy and more pep in your step. And maybe you would have made better decisions if you would have been healthy. And you would have made better decisions if you would have been well. But because you were sick, because your body was broken, or your emotions were broken, your heart was broken, and as a result, you made bad decisions, or you weren't able to do what you could have done if you were at full strength, God is going to restore you to health. He's going to restore you to health and all the things that come. Because healthy people, people that are well, can help others get well. People that are healed can help other people get healed. The Bible says God wants to bless you. God wants to give to you so that you can give back into somebody else's life. God wants to restore your health. If you've been fighting cancer, if you've been fighting leukemia, if you've been fighting heart disease, if you've been experiencing diabetes, whatever your condition is, Jesus is in heaven. Obviously, his Holy Spirit is here on this earth, and we have the Bible as the promises of God, our covenant that is sealed in the blood of Jesus forever. But Jesus is in heaven, and he is making sure, he's watching over his word to perform it, to make sure your health and your healing is restored. Now, maybe you're watching right now, and you say, man, that's me. That's me for both of those so far. I need years to be restored because I've had years devoured from me, and I need healing and health to be restored because I've had my health devoured and my health stolen from me. Plant a seed towards the restoration of your health. Plant
really?
A seed towards
plant
the restoration of your years that have been lost. Mm-hmm. And the third thing, let me give you this third thing. In Ezekiel chapter 16, is Ezekiel one of the prophets? All right, so we're just watching. Remember Jesus, remember Acts 3:19 and 20, it says he's watching over in heaven. He's remaining in heaven until all things are restored that the prophets said.
Mm-hmm.
What's the third thing? Ezekiel chapter 16. And let me show you this. And you're
I didn't know I had to pay for my healing.
God is a God of restoration.
Yeah, he is,
Ezekiel chapter 16.
I don't have to pay him.
Let me read this verse to you in 53. And I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. It says, I will restore them again from their captivity. I will restore the fortunes of Sodom and her daughters, and the fortunes of Samaria and her daughters, and I will restore your own fortunes in the midst of them in the day of the Lord. Well, this is the day of the Lord. Now is the day of the Lord. Ever since Jesus came, the day of the Lord began. The day of the Lord is now because Jesus is alive and he is watching over your life to restore your fortunes. And you say, man, I've never had fortunes. You say, I don't have any fortunes. How can God restore fortunes if I've never had them? Some of you were thinking that. You're watching right now. You're saying, I never had any fortunes. But you know what? Your parents had fortunes that they were supposed to claim that they never claimed. Your grandparents had fortunes that God promised them that they never experienced. Your great-grandparents had fortunes. Abraham, the Bible says that God made Abraham so rich. He was very rich. He was so rich. He was the richest man in the world at the time.
Whoa.
And the Bible says if we belong to Christ, then we are the seed of Abraham.
Oh.
And we are heirs of all of his blessing. We're heirs of his fortunes. We're heirs of everything. He passed it on to Isaac. Isaac passed it on to Jacob. Jacob passed it on to his son. And it got all the way to Jesus. And we're in Christ. And if we're in Christ, he became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich so that we might have every fortune restored to us.
Wow.
Every inheritance that God intended is yours. And you know what? Too many Christians were living below our inheritance.
Uh-huh.
This is an inheritance. This is not something you can earn. This is not something you can deserve. This
right,
is not something you can
right.
work for.
Right.
This is an inheritance. All
right.
you can do to experience this inheritance is to be born into it. And that's why when you got born again, you were born again into the family of God. I don't know if you realize this or not, but you were born again into royalty. You are a part of the royal family. You are a part of the heavenly royal family. And when you know that, you're going to see all of these things restored. Who needs their fortunes restored? I'm not talking about your forts in red. You don't need your forts in red. Your fortune doesn't need to be read by some spiritual advisor or some fortune cookie. Your fortune is listed right here in the Word of God. Your fortune is listed in 7,000 promises of God's Word, where He guarantees you to bless you, to multiply you, to make you exceedingly fruitful.
I have to sow a seed.
I think about my parents. Had they known God when they were young? My grandparents, had they known God when they were young? Had they known Jesus Christ? Had they known that they had a covenant with God? You realize that they would have had so much more in their lives? You need your fortunes restored. You need all that God promised you and your parents and your grandparents that they never claimed. Call right now. Plant the seed for
right
the restoration of your fortunes.
Call right now and plant a seed. You can
Amen.
Get a restoration of your fortune. Wow.
Right now. God wants to restore you.
Yeah.
He wants to restore you.
Wow.
If you've heard so far three things, God wants to restore years to your life.
Yeah.
Call right now. If you
call
years
right
restore,
now.
Plant a seed towards that restoration.
Plant a seed.
You say, and I'm going to get to the other things, and I'll go through those very quickly.
I can't
but
wait.
You say, how... Why would I plant a seed for restoration?
Yeah.
I'm going to show you that. Look at the book of Job. Everybody knows the book of Job. When I got saved, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I thought the book of Job was the book of job. And since I already had a job, I never read it.
Mm-hmm. I think you better get another job.
Then I realized it wasn't job, it was Job. And I looked at this, and I realized, wow, Job went through 9 months of hell on earth. Have you gone through your time? Are you done? Are you done whining like Job did? And I know that Job complained. Job's wife complained against him. Curse God and die, Job.
Yeah.
Job, you know, thought that, you know, the Bible says Job was, Job wrote the book of Job, you know, and Job wrote about himself. Job, the greatest man in the East.
Uh-huh.
You think we got a little problem there called pride?
Whoa!
And he complained to God. God, I've done everything right.
Time.
Why are these
big
bad things happening
pride.
To me?
Big time.
You can't look at life based on you doing everything right. You have to look at life based on Jesus has done everything right, and your faith is in Him, not in your righteousness, but in His righteousness. Now, Job, in chapter 42, Job has a turnaround in his life and starts speaking correctly about God.
Wow. Well, that was pretty amazing, wasn't it? Sow your seed. Yeah. Now, these people, they're master manipulators, because he's giving you all these scriptures about all the things Jesus did for you, but then you have to go to the phone and you have to sow a seed to get these things. Weird. Here comes Clarence McClendon. Now, Clarence claims that he was on an airplane or whatever, and he was going over to the TBN telethon, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him about the Gideon anointing or the Gideon miracle. Now, this was a new one. This is the Gideon anointing.
And even though it looks like you have less today than the day God made the promise, He said, All I've really been wanting to do is get you to the place where you're looking at me and you're looking at me alone. I'm almost done. You got your hand on somebody. I feel the power of God. If nobody else feels God, I feel it. So give me just a minute. Read it for yourself. Bible says that when Gideon, glory to God, when he tore down that altar and when he said, I am trusting in nobody but you, Jehovah. I'm removing every other thing that I can rely on or lean on. The Bible says, read it for yourself. It says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. I got to read it from the scriptures. So it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Watch it. And then the scripture says that all the Midianites and the Amalekites, they gathered. But verse 34 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him.
Wow.
You're not talking strongly enough. Tell them you are about to be resourced.
All I have to do is lift my
financial operational resource.
Wow.
Stuff that you couldn't get on your own. It's going to start coming towards you. Coming towards you. Look at your neighbor and tell him your help is coming. Your assistance is coming. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. People began to gather to him from everywhere. Lay your hands upon your brother. Lay your hands upon your sister. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Watching me by television. The Spirit of the Lord spoke expressly in my spirit. And he said, son, when you release this word, you tell them what I said in Judges 7. By
God
the 300, I will begin to deliver you from the Midianites. And God told me to tell you tonight, there are 3,000 people, God said to me, between tonight and last night, that are to come and to lift an offering before the Lord of 300. 300.
There's 3,000.
No, it's not magic. No, it's not a gimmick.
Yes, it is magic. Yes, it is a gimmick.
Before the Lord and the direction and the instruction of a prophet of God.
Yeah.
I know what I
have heard.
Wow. I know the voice that spoke to me. And already,
I know what voice spoke to you.
Watching me by television,
get your phone, your cell phone, whatever you are.
You can do it on the internet. But you say, Bishop McClendon, that word is for me. The Midianites have been attacking. I've been sowing, I've been planting, but my harvest has not come in. The Spirit of God anointed me for you tonight to come into agreement with you that that spirit would be broken off of your life, off of your finances, off of your family, off of your business. I want you right this moment, you're listening to me. Hear what the angel of the Lord said. He said, I will stay
the angel of the devil.
I heard the voice of the Spirit of grace say to me, tell them, I'm waiting for them to make a move. I'm waiting for them to bring what it is that I've requested. Right this moment, while the Spirit of the Lord is dealing with your spirit, while the Spirit of God is dealing with you, and you say, I heard that word. Some of you, you've been crying out to God.
Now, that's Clarence McClendon. And Clarence, you're pimping right there, I'm telling you. You know, the Bible says, uses the word, they've gone a-whoring. Well, that's why we say pimps, because they've gone a-whoring. He calls himself a prophet. He's telling people that he's a prophet and that the Holy Spirit, I'd be real careful about saying that, the Holy Spirit is telling him that there are 3,000 people that need deliverance from the Midianites, and if they would merely hold up their offering, that filthy money, hold it up to God, and call in to TBN that they are going to be delivered. Now, that is selling a miracle. I don't have to give God any offerings to get deliverance. I don't have to give God any offerings to get him to answer prayers for me. I don't know what God they are talking about, because it's certainly not the God that we know, the God that loves us, the God that gives us everything we need freely, we have received. He's certainly not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think Clarence McClendon is saved, because I don't see how any saved person, anybody that is born again and filled with the Spirit of God, can lie on God like that. Because that right there is lying on God, because God doesn't talk that way. Clarence McClendon talks that way. I don't know what he was smoking, but he's hallucinating. Now, I'm going to play a few clips here from Paul Crouch, and Now, this is a very interesting statement that Paul Crouch made on a behind-the-scenes program not too long ago. And he's sitting with his son, Matt, and they're talking about anybody that would try to come against TBN. Now, listen to what they say.
Quote from Papa Bethany. Meekness is not weakness. It is velvet-covered steel.
Bingo.
And he was describing Moses in one sense, but also his dear daughter. And
so, you know what? You know what's funny, Dad? There have been a few attempts in the TBN history to upset TBN, to stop TBN, to, you know, there have been a few fools in the 38, 39 year history coming up on 40 years. And you know what? You know, any attempt at stopping TBN, they have no idea who they're actually pushing into the corner.
Oh.
You and Mom get pushed in a corner, God help you.
Well,
that's a lesson I've learned from you, seriously.
God help anyone who would try to get in the way of TBN, which was God's
plan and his purpose.
I have attended the funeral of these two people who tried.
Hello. Hello.
That's another whole story.
You're on YouTube again right now, by the way, so say hi to the YouTube people.
Hello, YouTube. God bless you all. I love you.
YouTube clip over. Okay.
In spite of your nasty things that some people say. Anyway, back to the subject at hand.
Seriously, okay.
Now, wasn't that interesting? Because he's saying that anybody that says anything or tries to do anything against TBN, he's attended two funerals of people that have actually tried to do something against TBN. And then they mock the fact that people are putting it up on YouTube. And then he says, I love you. Yeah, that's real love, hoping that somebody dies because they say something about you. God is perfectly capable all by himself of bringing that idol down. He did it to PTL. He did it to Jimmy Swaggart at one time. So God's perfectly able all by himself to bring down these so-called ministries. And then he actually says that people that put up his quotes, now he said it, I didn't say it, nobody else said it. It came right out of his mouth that he said he's actually attended two funerals of people that have come against TBN. And then he tries to say because somebody puts it up on YouTube and brings it to somebody's attention, like we're doing right now, that it's nasty. We're saying nasty things. I'm not the one that's wishing that anybody would die because they say something against me. That sounds like a little bit of reverse psychology there, Paul. Anyway, it's like I said, God doesn't need my help. He doesn't need anybody else's help when he's about to bring a ministry down. We're just pointing things out. The heresy, the manipulation, the evil. That is wicked to wish that somebody would die and to claim that somebody died because they came against your ministry. I mean, give me a break. Here's Jan Crouch asking for little old ladies to send in their grocery money.
It's like it's always been the little women that caught the vision of giving, beginning with Jesus himself, out of their private means. Some of you little precious ones have that little grocery money, some of that little money set aside. Assure tonight the blessings of God on your family by giving it to God and speaking that. Say it, God, this is for blessings on my family. I love that.
Yeah, she loves that. Get out your little grocery money. You know that money that you have hidden? get out that little grocery money and give it to God. Well, God doesn't need my money. Don't try to make it spiritual. TBN wants my money. Look, TBN does not need to ever take up another offering. They're worth $1 billion. They don't need any more stations. They've got thousands of TV stations. They don't need any more satellite networks. They've got, I don't know how many. All you need is one. You don't need thousands, you know, just to keep repeating yourself, just to keep making yourself richer. You don't need to be any richer. You're rich enough. It's like, give me a break. You don't have to do any more conathons and begathons and bring all those pimps on there to manipulate people to get more money. You don't need any more mansions. You don't need any more $50 million jet planes. You don't need any more of that. You know, where were you when you fired your granddaughter and your son, and you filed I don't know how many lawsuits against your granddaughter for trying to bring it to your attention about the financial improprieties there at TBN? What did you do to your own granddaughter? You fired her. You're suing her. You're trying to make her life miserable. Maybe you should listen to what she's saying, or to some, you know, to some people that are pointing things out. Maybe you should take it to God and find out and see that what you're doing, it's wrong. It's a bad testimony. It's making a laughing stock out of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that God has some people that refuse to bow the knee. Here's more clips
from
the Crouches.
Back to him anyway. Mm-hmm. That's what God does. You can't give up anything for God. He won't let you. It'll all come right back. I need many of you to get on the phone. You know what? We might even just raise the whole IPTV on behind the scenes today. We don't have enough phones though. But come on, I need some big ones now. I need some $1,000 pledges. I need some $5,000. I need some of you that God has blessed. And some of you business people that can give larger amounts, this is big stuff. I mean, there's some stuff going on right up here upstairs, and I hear them banging around up there, and some big racks are going up there, and some big pieces of equipment.
You don't need any more money.
It's all hard drives. We are putting in thousands of terabytes of hard drive storage.
Yeah,
is what we're doing.
Okay, I'm just believing that that 300 of you. You know, there's something about 300.
About 300.
Those guys that defeated the Midianites.
Yeah.
Power of
his name?
with the movie?
Yes. I'm trying to think of movies now. But anyway, we need some
Spartans.
We need some the Spartans. Yeah. We need some big pledges now. You don't have it? Good. You'll have a double blessing. You'll have the joy of seeing God provide it. And then you'll have the joy of giving it.
Amen.
You get a double blessing. So go to the phone right now and say, Paul Jr., I don't have $1,000. I don't have $5,000. I don't have
$100. Mm-hmm. Get your own money.
Pledging it by faith.
Yeah. You know, only God could have thought about wiring the world and being able to use.
I know it.
You know that? If we'd have sat 30 years ago and said, we need to run a wire so that everybody in the world can get this signal, you would have said, there is no way.
You're a madman. Yeah.
But literally, the world is wired today, and we are going to use the Internet to reach the world.
Yes, we are. We're going to use the Internet.
We're running out of time real quick. One picture's worth 1,000 words. This will help you understand possibly a little better. Bob, go ahead and roll our little nude.
Oh, I'm telling you, they're masters at this stuff, aren't they? Look, Paul Crouch does not need another offering. They don't need any more money. They make multiple millions of dollars alone selling airtime. The airtime is outrageously expensive on TBN. And they don't need anybody to send in another dollar. It's like, look, go get a job, okay? Get a real job, do an honest day's work, and quit conning people. Now, here's another way. Now, I don't know who paid this guy off, but there was a lawsuit that was brought against Paul Crouch a few years ago. Now, I don't know if the allegations are true, but there was a man that claimed that he had a gay love affair with Paul Crouch, and he was suing him, and they actually paid this man off to be quiet.
To 99, a TV empire.
Broadcasting network.
Rocked by scandal.
A pack of lies, and I can prove it.
A lawsuit charging gay sex, house money, and cover-up, all with a North Texas connection.
Most of you don't even know what's going on.
You will. Watch Richard Ray's exclusive report tonight at 9 on the news station, Fox 4.
Coming up, trouble at Trinity Broadcast Network.
Why a Dallas-based foundation has one of the world's most visible televangelists in its sights.
Broadcasting live for Dallas, Fort Worth, and all North Texas, the news station. This is Fox 4 News at 9.
Scandal is swirling now around the world's largest religious broadcaster after a lawsuit alleging homosexual misconduct against its founders surfaced last month.
A scandal that has its roots here in Texas, and Fox 4's Richard Ray has more. Rich?
Trinity Broadcasting Network is headquartered in Southern California, but has a major operation here in North Texas. Earlier this month, it canceled plans for its semi-annual live telethon, opting instead to run a best-of, all-on-tape version. It is the latest move that may have fans of founders Paul and Jan Crouch wondering what's going on. Well, lots.
Your Trinity Broadcasting Network, in spite of some of the crap you read in the newspapers, is alive and well.
Obviously, something's amiss, but longtime viewers may be asking what.
I'm not even going to dignify it with what it's all about.
Sometimes calmly, but increasingly with anger, Dr. Paul Crouch rails at unspecified charges against him.
Most of them are a pack of lies right out of the pit of hell. And I can prove it.
It's the work of the devil, Crouch tells his huge audience.
You burn in hell for eternity, and a few measly dollars, you might think that you're not going to get them, by the way.
But in fact, money paid to settle a lawsuit is at the heart of the crisis at TBN. The story begins here at Shiloh Ranch, Colleyville, Texas. It's one of dozens of residences that Paul and Jan Crouch maintain at various locations around the country. In 1991, Paul Crouch met a man at a TBN-affiliated drug treatment center here at the ranch, a man named Lonnie Ford. This much is certain, Lonnie Ford's no angel. He'd done time for drugs and a sex offense against a 17-year-old boy. Paul Crouch employed Ford as a chauffeur on and off twice right after he'd been released from jail. But in 1998, after yet another jail term, Crouch refused to hire Ford back. Ford filed a wrongful termination and sexual harassment lawsuit, alleging a homosexual relationship with Dr. Crouch. TBN reached an out-of-court settlement paying Ford $425,000 and getting in return Ford's promise of silence.
Our concern is the $425,000. The ministry vigorously attempted to hide that expenditure for 6 years.
Get out of God's way!
Wall Watchers, a Christian advocate group based in North Carolina, has put out a donor alert telling people to stop sending money to TV.
No. Okay. I don't know if it's true or not. I don't know if this guy, Lonnie Ford, had a homosexual affair with Paul Crouch. But why do you pay somebody over $400,000 to buy their silence? They paid him off once, I think, and then he was going to write a book a few years later, and then they had to pay him off again. So I don't understand why you have, if things are not true, if somebody was making false accusations against me, I would certainly fight it. I wouldn't be paying people off to buy their silence. That's an awful lot of money to pay out. If you have nothing to hide, you don't have to bribe people. Amen? Let's listen to a few more of Paul Crouch's famous clips.
Into little God. Wayne Beck Seven as a man. He faces the Father as a man.
Oh, this is
I face devils as the Son of God. You see what I'm talking about? You say, Benny Hinn, am I a little God? You're a son of God, aren't you? You're a child of God, aren't you? You're a daughter of God, aren't you? What else are you? Quit your nonsense. What else are you? If you say I am, you're saying I'm a part of him, right? Is he God? Are you his offspring? Are you his children? You can't be human.
Benny Hinn says if you're the offspring of God, you can't be human. You're a little God. Now here's Paul Crouch with Heresy Hunters.
They're going around picking little bits of doctrinal error out of everybody's eyes and dividing the body of Christ and arguing over splinters and doctrinal hairs and dissipating and wasting all of our time in the world going to hell. I say, get out of God's way. Quit walking God's bridges.
Now, he's saying that you don't have any right to try to straighten out anybody's doctrine because basically doctrine doesn't mean anything anyway. Well, if doctrine doesn't mean anything, we might as well throw out the Bible. We might as well never read the Bible. We might as well never find out what the Bible says because he's trying to tell you that doctrine doesn't matter. Well, yes, it does. Doctrine does matter. The truth does matter no matter what you say, Paul Crouch. Here we go, another clip from Paul Crouch.
How many on Facebook now?
Yeah, in fact, I'm going to switch over to Facebook. We actually took quite a big jump. Here's our TBN Facebook page. We're up to 17,000. You can see right there, 17,000.
Give me some pledges.
522 on Facebook. So if you are a Facebook person and are on Facebook, and there's like, I think latest was 600 million people are on Facebook right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Around the world. But friend us on Facebook, and there you can even go just to our Facebook page. Let's go back, Bob, and you can even watch movies and stuff on Facebook. In fact, I called up a couple of even last night's praise program on Facebook. You just a few clicks away, and there you are watching last night's praise on Facebook.
Oh, wow. Oh, our time is gone. Listen, next week, tell everybody, all the prayer partners, I want the pledges sent right over because I'm going to read some of them.
Sure.
Right on Praise the Lord. Telethon,
wow.
Praise-a-thon.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Praise-a-thon is our exclusive name now. Everybody else quit using Praise-a-thon. Use something else.
Garth?
Yes. Brother, whoever. Vern Jackson's, we're all out of them, but we've ordered more. Fear not.
Good.
You may order, and it'll be there in a few days. Regardless, it's easy to order these, but
now notice that Praise-a-thon is their exclusive name, and they're telling people you can't use that name if you're going to have your own Begathon. You cannot use our name Praise-a-thon or else, because they own that name. Now I'm going to here is Paul Crouch. Paul Crouch, Little God.
Settled then tonight? This hue and cry and controversy that has been spawned by the devil to try and bring dissension within the body of Christ, that we're gods. I am a little God.
Yes. Yes.
I have his name. I'm one with him. I'm in covenant relationship.
Yes.
I am a little God. Critics, you are gone.
Anything that he is.
Yes.
And he is a little God. I don't think so. Now, here's a famous clip from Benny Hinn, and he claims that Adam could fly.
I don't know whether people even know this, but he was the first Superman that really ever lived. First of all, the scriptures declare clearly that he had dominion over the fowls of the air, the fish of the sea, which means he used to fly.
Whoa.
Well, of course. How can you have dominion over the birds and not be able to do what they do?
Whoa.
Actually,
I mean, wait a minute.
I'll prove it to you.
Wait a minute. Danny.
I never heard that.
The word dominion
in
the Hebrew clearly declares that if you have dominion over a subject, that you do everything that subject does. In other words, that subject, if it does something you cannot do, you don't have dominion over it. I'll prove it further.
Wow.
Adam not only flew, he flew to space. He used to be, he was, with one thought, he'd be on the moon.
Oh, I don't know. with one thought, Adam was on the moon. I don't know. I think Benny's been smoking something. He's smoking something there. Now, here's Benny Hinn. He wants to kill you if you say anything about it.
God, by name, somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother. You watch it. Dear God in heaven, I wish I can just... They call out the minister in my foot. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it. But don't mention people's names on your radio program and your TV program, thinking you're doing God's service. You're not. You stink, frankly. That's the way I think about it. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'll blow your head off.
Oh, wow. That... That was really Christian, wasn't it? He wants a Holy Ghost machine gun, and he's going to blow your head off. And he's looking for the scripture in the Bible where it says that if anybody dares mention his name on your radio program, that he's looking for that scripture where he could kill you. Oh, you know, could you please, can anyone figure out, in your mind, can you figure out why anyone follows these people, why anyone would actually dress up and get in their car and drive over to hear these people talk? There is something wrong with these people. The Bible says that we are to rebuke people. We are to correct people. We are to point things out. We are to defend the faith. So where do they get off wanting to hurt people that talk about their heresy? Oh, I don't know. These people are dangerous. I'll tell you, really, they are dangerous. I'm just going to close out the program, and I'm going to play the complete clip from the brother from the TCT network, Brother James, and who was telling the people to, he cut up rope, and if you send in a seed faith gift, they will send you this piece of rope, and it'll be your point of contact, actually, so that you could get your miracle from God. Now, in the next broadcast we're going to do next week, I'm going to try to cover the Daystart Network, Marcus and Joni Lamb, and Morris Cirillo. So I'll be playing some clips from them. But anybody that has a satellite network or cable, you can tune in to some of these broadcasts yourself. There's quite a few of them that have been having telethons in the last few weeks, and you can see the manipulation and the lying and the stealing. And they have totally sold themselves out to the devil for filthy lucre's sake. So, but first and foremost, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, ask him to come into your life. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Jesus Christ is real, and he does love you. You don't have to pay him any money for his love or for his blessings. They are free for the asking. And I want to apologize today for the type of Christianity that you may have seen on TV. That is not true Christianity. God has people that preach the gospel simply because they love people and they believe that Jesus Christ is real and that heaven is a real place. And you can go there. You don't have to be afraid to die because you can have the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ and through his sacrifice on the cross. And I guarantee you that when you ask God to forgive you of your sins and you ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior and to come into your life and you're born again, you will be a new creation. You will be new, and old things will pass away. Everything you've done in the past will be forgiven. Remember, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that's a real and true promise. God bless you today as I close out.
And I don't want you to go to the phone right now. Wait just a moment. Wait just a moment. God said to me, when you plant a seed and direct that seed, I put a rope in your hand that's tied to your mirror.
God never said
that. As you look at Abraham, go back to when he met Melchizedek. And he gave. And because he gave, God said, I'm going to raise you up as a father of many nations. God will bypass 10,000 people to get to a giver. God will walk by person after person to get to a giver. When I get to heaven, I'll stand and give an account to God for what I'm saying to you right now. And you will give an account for how you hear what I'm saying. What you do today, it does not affect my life at all. This money goes for Christian television. But God's talking to 200 people. I cut up 200 pieces. That's how many was in this rope that I had, 200 pieces. I didn't plan it that way. I just cut them up, and when I counted them, that's how many there were. I believe there's 200 people that need these three things God told me to prophesy. And I want you to pray, and then I want you to go to the phones. North Carolina, New York, California.
God told him to prophesy.
Wherever you're hearing our voice, I want you to go to the phone. I am personally
the God of
going
to
pray over every pledge. I'm going
to
lay my hand on every pledge. I'm going to believe God to honor his word and to bring these three things to pass in your life. Father, I preach the word. Ruby and I held the rope and we saw you bring David in. We held the rope and we saw you touch Ruby's body, defy the doctors, the medical reports, and she's still alive. Hasn't been sick a day since October the 28th, 2010. Lord, don't let anybody hearing me today miss your voice. I pray they will go quickly to the phones and dial that number and make that connection. Lord, when we send this little piece of rope and they take it and put it in Romans chapter 4.
I don't have to go to the phone.
Every time they open that
connection.
Book, Lord, they're taking a turn on that rope to bring that miracle into their life.
God,
there's something
use a telephone
that happens when people respond with a $1,000 gift.
Oh, really?
I want you to go now. I want you to dial the number on your screen. I want you to say,
God,
Brother Payne, I believe I'm one
telephone.
Of those 200.
We have to call him up on the telephone.
I believe I'm one of those 200 supposed to give $1,000 to Christian television.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have it. Some of you, I don't know where I'm going to get it. Some of you can put it on a credit card. I don't apologize for asking you to give because I know on the other side of that gift is a miracle. On the other side of that gift is a soul that's coming to God.
Uh-huh.
On the other side of that gift is a breakthrough.
Really?
That'll never happen unless you obey God.
It won't happen unless I give you
$1,000. I thank God for Christian television and all the great men and women of God that have come and have challenged you. Because it's in answering that challenge.
Yeah.
That God begins to do the miraculous.
I don't see any scripture.
In your life.
I don't see anything in the Bible about
our
that.
Our prayer partners are standing by. Go dial that number on your screen, 800-232-9855. Say, I'm taking hold of that rope.
Uh-huh.
The best decision my wife and I ever made was in Houston, Texas, when we sold that $1,000 for our son. He's not going to hell, Lynn.
Oh.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Today he's a great
again,
man of God. He's not going to hell. He's produced songs for me that's gone all over the world. because his mom and I took hold of the rope and we refused to let go. Now we got to hold the rope for my wife's healing. Amen. I don't think the coming of the Lord's that far away. It'd be good if we just went to heaven together.
Yeah.
Praise God. We're not giving up. We're not giving in. And I can't wait to hold your pledge in my hand today.
Yeah, I bet you can.
I can't wait to take one of these little pieces of rope.
I'd like to be holding it in my hand.
Lay it on that pledge, because of all the messages I've ever preached in my life, I've seen more miracles happen by people who responded to this message than any other message I've ever preached in 36 years of full-time ministry.
Really?
We have some wonderful gifts to send you as you give. But right now, just be moved by the Holy Spirit. Just be moved by the Holy Spirit. Realize that when you dial that number, you make that pledge, God's putting a rope in your hand that's tied to your miracle. That's tied to your breakthrough. That's tied to your healing and your deliverance.
Really?
There's people watching right now, and you have children that are bound by drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
I talked with one of our prayer partners earlier in the week. He said to me, I have a brother, and he's away from God. Would you pray for him?
Yeah.
Early this morning, the Lord brought him to my mind, and I began to pray for him.
Yeah.
He's watching tonight. He knows that I'm praying for him. Because I told her to tell him, I'm praying for him. So, partners, go to that phone right now. Dial that number. I know there's 200 God's talking to. I know there's 200 God's talking to give that one-time gift of $1,000, $84 a month. God's talking to you right now.
Yeah.
You know He is.
You've
tried
like
everything
James
else.
Talking, not God.
You're at the point of giving up. You're at the point of calling it quits. You're at the point of saying, I can't go on. Listen, God's talking to you today. God's talking to you today to take that rope, to hold that rope, to not lose faith, to not lose hope, but just like Abraham. Can you believe it? A 100-year-old man.
No, I don't believe it.
And a 90-year-old
woman. I don't
believe
it. No.
Come to church and dedicate a baby. Because
James,
they believed he that had promised.
It's
was
not
also
God
able
talking,
to
it's you talking. Because
that's the God
if
you
God
serve.
Was really
that's
talking,
the God I serve.
You wouldn't have
if
to tell
give
people
a baby
that. They have to
give
a $1,000.
To a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, your problem's not very big to that God. Your problem's not very big to that God. Come on, partners, go to the phone right now, 800-232-9855. I want to take one of these pieces of rope, and I cut them short because I really believe that when you do what God tells you to do, it's a short distance
God's not
between
telling
God's
him, James,
miracle
you're telling
and
him.
Your need.
James,
I want to lay this on
him.
Your pledge and prophesy these three things over your pledge. So
okay,
go to the phone
James.
Right now. Amen.
He's going to prophesy those three things.
Hallelujah, God.
Hallelujah. Well, you know what?
I need one. I'm going to hold on to it.
Oh, there's
I
the
need one. I'm
going to
hold on to it.
One.
Hallelujah.
He needs one of them ropes.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, James. As you go to the phone right now, 800-232-9855. Get that seed in the mail. Get that rope.
Get that seed in the mail.
Hold on. That belief.
Well, God bless you all today, and I want to thank you for listening. And, Brother James, if God was talking to somebody about giving $1,000, he's perfectly capable of telling them himself. He doesn't need you to speak for him and to put that thought in people's minds, because that is the power of suggestion. That is not the Lord Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit. The Lord rebuke you in Jesus' name.
I'm going to a city that says the hill. The true ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to the city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.